Exit Podcast Viewfinder. Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. We look at the world around you, the news, movies, video games, music, TV shows, social media, and commercials to see what worldview they promote. Everything pushes a worldview, and we want to help you find your view.
Hey, Mr. Grumpy Gills. When life gets you down, you know what you gotta do? Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. Just keep... Hey, everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm James.
And I'm Luke.
I love how you, like, turned your head. You're turning your head like you were back and forth.
Had to get in character. Welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 64.
64.
Man, hey.
64.
Next week's podcast will be on the road.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be... Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It's been a while since we've been there. A whole year.
A whole year. We did a podcast there last year. I'm excited.
We did.
Go up there and work with Burmese people. No, that opening quote was from...
Finding Nemo.
From Finding Nemo. But Finding Dory came out, and it's so new and fresh, we couldn't find any quotes from it. But
Finding Nemo, the worst Pixar film.
See, okay, you guys
no,
don't
it's
like...
not Cars 2.
Oh,
is.
That doesn't count.
You guys don't
Cars
like...
1 is great, though.
Yeah. Why don't you like Finding Nemo?
I just... It wasn't that good. I was like, it's about fish. I don't care about fish.
Oh, man.
I didn't think it was that funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Finding Nemo...
I didn't attach to the characters like all the other...
It's great. I was so excited that there's a Finding Dory, which I saw. You guys didn't, but we'll talk about
that's
that.
Because we don't like Finding Nemo. Why would we go to
I'm boycotting Pixar.
Finding Nemo,
no
though.
More sequels.
There's so many great themes with Finding Nemo. Because it's all about, like, a father and son relationship. It's about dealing with loss.
Execution was terrible.
It's about dealing with growing up. No, it wasn't. It was
Maybe
so good.
Maybe I was
good.
Just annoyed by Marlin. I don't know. He just... The characters, all of them just annoyed me. Every single one. Except for Bruce.
Dory kind of annoyed me, but the more I watched it, I was like, oh, okay, I like this.
Marlin didn't annoy you?
Every character.
Nemo didn't annoy you?
No. This is what I was worried about with Finding Dory, because they did this... Disney's done this typically with, like, Cars 2. Too much Mater, right? Like the first one, it had Tow Mater in a good dose, but the second one, took it to the extreme. Emperor's New Groove. Kronk, hilarious character. Kronk's New Groove, too much Kronk.
Yeah.
Because you're like, no.
It's all about Kronk.
Yeah, like in small doses. And so Dory, I was like, okay, she was funny in like small doses, and she was borderline annoying. I'm like, oh man, if they do a whole movie about
her. She was annoying. I did not like the character. I did not like the movie. I did not like Nemo. He had one fin. That just was like, what? One fin that was
I know. I'm judging him right now.
Yeah, well, his lucky fin. I have a daughter whose arm is messed up, and I'm like, that's her lucky fin. Like, it's
you mean that's her lucky arm?
Oh, that's her lucky fin.
You only got two, but that one's
no,
your lucky
but,
one.
Yes, that's the one.
No, but it's about like overcoming like
adversity
and handicap, and this one even more so, the Finding Dory. But
in the wild where fish live, that fish would have been destroyed immediately.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Okay, if you're going to go...
We're talking about the wilds here.
You can't say, like...
That barracuda would have finished everyone off.
Yeah, and the animals in Jungle Book don't really talk, so...
Well, no.
They weren't talking.
They do talk.
Don't you read the Bible?
I'm talking.
All the animals talked at the beginning. I just started thinking about this. Okay, so the disability thing...
Yeah.
I mean, sure. I mean, she can't remember, right?
Yeah.
What, she got a 30-second memory or something
like
that? Short-term it's kind of like that one movie.
I think that's what they're
Memento
in
yeah.
the movie, right?
Memento, yeah. This basically was Memento, but with animated Memento.
Oh.
It's going back!
It begins with Dory killing Marlin.
Yeah.
And you just go back.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But... It brings up a good point about the soul, right? Because you're like, okay, you got people who, as they get older, and maybe it doesn't happen, it happens to even young people, dementia and Alzheimer's, are they still them, though? Because Dory is still Dory, even though she can't remember.
Yeah.
She's got, like, something
well, there's a difference.
Essence is still there. It's like, you're Dory, even though you can't remember anything, you still act like Dory and
yeah.
do all that stuff.
Yeah, because there was a an article or something like a while back that like a guy was like, yeah, if your spouse has dementia, if they have Alzheimer's, then he's like, it's okay to go date other people. And people were like in an uproar. They're like, what? Yeah. What? They're still your spouse. Yeah. Like, they're still...
Nah, not anymore. According to that guy.
I know. It was such a, like...
That guy's just like, hey, they effectively died.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, that's what he was saying. You're like, this is crazy, because...
And that's what's wrong with people.
I mean, did you look at his argument? It was pretty compelling to me.
I did not.
Did you read the
argument? No, it's probably not a compelling argument, because you don't date the person who's a static person. You know they're going to change over time.
Yeah. But it was, that's a good point. I didn't think about that, because she's dealing with
What if it was like 50 first dates, though? How about that?
You gotta see the positive.
Wasn't that about how the person would forget?
Yeah, every day she would wake up.
And so he'd go on a new date with her.
So yeah. What? Is that like Groundhog Day or like Edge of Tomorrow?
No, she just had a bad memory.
Yeah, she would. Yeah, the day didn't repeat itself. She would wake up and have forgotten everything that happened the day before.
So she's like Dory.
If she had dementia, you could just take her on a first date.
You can do the same thing. That's why it was called Dementia First
Date. I haven't seen that movie.
It's an Adam Sandler movie. I stopped watching those a long time ago.
Ugh. Yeah, they're just gotten worse over time.
Oh man, the Netflix ones are the worst.
Yeah,
man.
Netflix has made a bad deal.
I know, they're like, how do we get out of this?
Why? That's what you get when you go for cheap.
Is that cheap though?
But you know what movie I actually did like with Adam Sandler?
There's a lot of good ones with Adam Sandler.
Click's the most recent one he was in.
Punch Drunk Love.
Bedtime Stories is my favorite Adam Sandler movie.
Punch Drunk Love?
Have you seen Bedtime Stories? No. Oh, that one's good.
But Click was just like...
I haven't seen
Click. The Wedding Singer. Come on, people.
No, but Click, it was like a really good movie.
Let's not talk about
a guy who's like, oh, I want to skip through the hard times of life.
You know what we should talk about.
But no, I think... Click has some great themes, like
he's at the end. About work, right? So he wants to. That's good.
He's like his
older self.
His older self. He's at his daughter's wedding, and then like the remote takes control, and he like skips it. I think I don't know.
Yeah, he misses.
He misses out on the whole
meaningful
bunch of things
of life. It's kind of like Ecclesiastes, the book. You should read that.
Click was actually, I think, it was his best film he's ever made. Mainly because it had, what's his name? What's the guy's name? Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
He was part of the Bed Bath & Beyond. He was the Beyond section.
The Beyond. I know, that was pretty funny. I remember seeing that preview.
He gave him the remote.
So,
Now, I do want to mention, I want to give a shout out to Chris Pratt. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Chris Pratt.
Luca loves Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Recording this on Tuesday. Really, I hope it'll post today, too, the podcast. Well, but
maybe.
We'll see.
We'll see. But yeah, Chris Pratt.
He's how old?
Birthday. I don't know.
He's
59.
I don't know that.
He's episode 64. Okay.
He's older, which means he can't do as many younger roles.
Whatever.
Now
he's
got to do his old roles.
All right, so this week I did watch Finding Dory. That's what I watched this week. I'm almost done with Person of Interest. I've got a few more episodes, and it's over. And I'm sad to see it go. It's one of my favorite shows, as I said before. But this last season, there's been a couple things that they've done.
37. He's 37.
Okay, thank you.
You're interrupting his 5 minutes, James.
There's a couple things that I haven't liked about this season, just as far as like content and stuff, that is kind of frustrated me as far as like sexuality stuff. I'm like, man, why you got, like, this show is so good. Don't put that stuff in there. So, Person of Interest, great show. So, Luke, you said you've been reading a book?
Yeah, I've been reading books, and I read books a lot, and I've been inspired by my brother James. James, he's a pastor, for all you guys who don't know. So he goes around, and he tells people, you should read your Bible. He challenges them, and he's like, you know what, you don't have a Bible? I've got money. Well, I don't have money, but I can borrow money, and I can get you a Bible.
And give me an offer,
so he gets people's Bible, and he's like,
money.
He's like, you can... Now you can read the Bible. So he goes around challenging people to read the Bible. And since I'm not a pastor, I'm like, well, I don't need to challenge people to read Bibles, but I can challenge them to read
the Constitution.
So right now, this is what I wanted to take up with my section. I wanted to challenge all the listeners to read one book every 2 weeks. That's a 14-chapter book. You can read one chapter a day, and you'll be done with that.
Okay.
What about Sabbath?
Well, you can read during the Sabbath because it's entertainment and not work. How about that? And I actually want you to take a notebook with you if you're reading any books and just like write down your thoughts as well, because that's how you decipher the worldview around you when you're reading books. You actually have to think about what they're telling you. So if you have a notebook or something while you're reading maybe Harry Potter, you'd be like, oh, in this chapter, it discussed the themes of Harry Potter being awful at being a wizard. He's the worst wizard, and it's dumb. But that's not the point. But that's what I want to do with my time, because I'm not a pastor.
So
well, I mean, the Bible's included. You have to read the Bible.
Read the Bible. You do it. Have to.
All right. Plus a book. Every 2 weeks. That's the challenge.
James, you watched anything this week?
Or I read will start a new anime show on time. Okay. It's great.
It's time for anime. James.
James and Luke.
Blue Exorcist. So I've only watched like maybe 6 episodes since yesterday. And that's what I do. I get in a zone and I can't stop. I'm like, I can't stop. Because it's so good.
I do have a point, because the Japanese are a different culture. And if you watch enough of their shows, you'll understand they don't know what Roman Catholics are.
Yeah, dude. Okay. That's what I love. So many shows have to do with demons, Catholics. I'm like, there's so much God in their culture, and yet they're like secular. But so, every show, so many shows deal with some sort of, there's a priest, and he's doing an exorcism, or they're fighting demons.
Do you think it's based on their worldview of what Roman Catholics are without studying it?
They're like, hey, Roman Catholics, what if they were cool? And that's what
for some reason, the Japanese culture loves like demon stuff, like the fight of good and evil. Of course, they never portray. They never mention Jesus. Jesus is never mentioned. God really isn't ever mentioned. Satan's mentioned a lot. He's actually like a character who's always an enemy, but he's not that powerful, but he is. And, you know, it's so interesting, because I'm like, man, I would love to talk with a Japanese person about these shows, because they do deal with worldview. And I feel like it'd be easy to connect God to them, because they're already being exposed to it. They've got their culture seeped in it.
Yeah.
If anime is true. Anime is a good reflection of
what they. Okay.
You mentioned something that was interesting about how they don't mention God and stuff, but there's also books by J.R.R. Tolkien, which is basically there's a God character, and he's mentioned in one of the books, and that's it. And then they mention Sauron, who is basically the devil character, all the time. So it's like, it's not that uncommon. Normally, Gandalf would be like the Jesus character, but he's not really. Because he comes back to life after defeating.
Yeah.
But there are other analogs. So I was like, I think that's more common, because it seems like the enemy who's trying to actually be a part of just being very active while... Analogs. You know what an analog is?
An analogy?
Yeah.
So.
Sorry. All right. I call it an analogy. Anyway, so I'm watching it. It's just about this kid who is Satan's son. Think about like Zeus. Zeus he's a god, and he has relations with somebody and his kid. So he's like a demigod. So Satan's son is like.
Percy Jackson.
Sure.
Yeah,
so Satan's son is, that's what it's about, it's following him, but you're finding out that the world's filled
Little Nicky, wasn't that an Adam Sandler movie? he's Satan's son, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Let's not talk about it.
It's like, it never portrays, these shows never portray Satan as being as bad, or there's incarnations of Satan.
No, so they portray him as being an awful person. James.
Oh, maybe in this one, but like the devil's a part-timer? I mean, I don't know if you've seen
that one. That's because it's a comedy.
Also, there's another one.
Boring.
I started like 5 minutes of it, but I just couldn't get into it, where Satan was a woman. So you're like, what? Satan, you can't be a woman.
Hey, that was in The Passion. Satan's portrayed as a woman.
Well, it's an anime, too.
James clearly doesn't agree with that. Satan.
Or James doesn't see The
to
Passion.
To be honest, Satan probably can pastor. Be whatever he wants to be.
Requirement.
So, all right. That's what I've been watching. So far, No questionable content, I don't think. I mean, you never know.
With it's anime, just about a demon. Except for the
part where he just slices all these demons.
I mean, sure. But they're demons. He's fighting demons, okay?
Oh, when you're well, cutting demons in half. I've been playing a video game where you blow up zombies.
Well, there you go.
It's very gruesome, but I mean, you're sending just them zombies. Back.
All right, it's time for Florida Foibles.
Anime edition.
No,
I have no idea if this story's real. I tried to double check it. It comes from...
I don't even know. Don't even say where it's
from. Yeah.
Because I don't know what this website
it's
is.
It's a Fox affiliate, though.
Oh, well, then of course it's Fox true. Affiliate. We report, you decide. Like, wait, what?
It's fair and
no,
balanced.
No, fair and balanced, bro.
No, they...
They changed it?
That's because they used probably to, got sued.
Yeah, it used to be We Report, You Decide. So, all right.
A New Jersey man was arrested in Wesley Chapel, Florida after hiding a number of Lego sets in a toy treasure box and paying only for the box. The man admitted to having pulled the variations of this caper across the country. He was stealing Star Wars Lego items from Toys R Us.
Which, those are expensive.
Yeah, I mean, I can afford that.
Dude, the Millennium Falcon's like $89.
They discontinue them after a while, too.
See, he's probably going to sell those for less money. But yeah.
Like, they never, like, the old, I had a Star Wars X-Wing, they don't sell anymore. If I had it not on open, it'd probably be worth, like, I don't know, 10 extra cents than what I paid for.
Yeah.
So, I remember I thought it could fly because I was a kid.
And you threw it?
Shattered, and I lost almost every piece. I could never put it back together.
Threw
it
to that wood chipper. Like, oh, why is that wood chipper on? Okay, so he steals all these Lego sets.
Puts them in a box.
So
a treasure box.
So he has like a... So you buy this treasure box thing, but he puts a bunch of stuff in it, and then when he checks out,
see,
he only pay for the treasure box.
Like, man, this box is pretty
heavy.
It
must not have very... I don't know. Employees, it's Toys R Us.
Well, no. So if I walk up with an item... And just scan the item and walk out.
Right? You put it up there, you would think that the employee would touch it at some point.
Well, it's got to be pretty big, right? He's putting Lego sets in it.
Well, yeah.
So he could just hold it up and they scan the bottom. That's and then true. he's like, I'll just carry
maybe
it.
Maybe the employee knows, but they don't want to.
Maybe they're all in on it. Or no. Maybe they just don't care.
Maybe, well, one, not caring is a pretty common thing for minimum wage tellers. What are they called? Not tellers.
Cashiers.
Also, maybe they don't want to actually engage, because the last thing I want to do is be like, oh man, put that up. I'd just be like, hey, manager, this guy stole stuff. And he's like, oh, I'll take care of it.
Yeah. Well, I was at the place where you could save big money.
Yeah, and, Menards.
And Menards. Save big money at Menards. So I was there, and me and my dad were buying something. It was like some kind of box thing, and we got up there. It was like had a little latch, or it was like a safe type thing. I don't remember what it was, but the guy was like, oh, he's like, let's open this up. And we're like, open up? Why? And he's like, oh, because sometimes people put stuff in there. And he's like, so I just want to make sure nobody hid an item in there. But basically, it was a nice way of saying, like, hey, let's make sure that you're not stealing other stuff. And so I was like, I that won't even cross my mind, but apparently Shannon Kirkley, he did it. So,
oh, and he got away with it a lot.
You know what? Another thing you can do is find a receipt, right? And go into the store.
Are you talking about how to steal? Quit saying this.
No. What?
It's not stealing.
But this is what people do. They find a receipt.
Okay.
And if it's like not completely torn up, then they'll go in the store, pick out the items on the receipt, and be like, oh, I need to return this. And sometimes
how do you even get around to that?
Huh?
You're walking in the store with the item. How?
Yeah, because that's why like a Walmart stores, and Best Buy, they like they
Best
tag
Buy
it.
Tags it.
They tag
yeah.
it, and at Home Depot, but at Schnucks, our local grocery store, they don't.
They're not local.
Okay,
from
hold
St.
on,
Louis.
You guys don't steal. Don't listen. Like,
so what's the world view?
People
are
gonna try.
I'm just repeating.
What does
crazy
this say about
do.
Life?
Yeah,
it says people are desperate, one. Some,
okay.
Well, the
so
other
this guy,
guy
really likes Star Wars toys.
Maybe
that's
he's
what
just a kleptomaniac.
What does it say about God? He obviously doesn't think
not,
stealing's wrong. Or maybe he doesn't see it as stealing. Whatever's in the box, I'm buying the box. And whatever's in it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. We justify our sin. We justify when we do something wrong. Like, oh, I'm buying the box.
Well, it's a loophole, though.
They're not
it's
looking
not,
inside
it's
it.
It's a loophole.
Didn't say I couldn't. Everything in the box, right? I'm buying the box, and I'm just The content.
The air's included in the box, right? I'm not paying for it.
And all these Lego orders. What? Nothing. So, okay. Wait. And then, yeah. So he's basically saying I can take whatever I can fit in this box.
Yeah, right. Isn't that how it works?
What's in the box?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
But then there's the other what's
in
the box.
So stupid.
What's in the box? And he looks in the box, and guess what's in the box?
Will you take the fish? Star Wars. What's in the box?
No. Have you ever seen Seven?
No.
About the killer?
Oh, the head, yeah.
The seven deadly sins?
Yeah, and then there's the head in the box? The
head in the box.
So, yeah, he opened... So,
and Morgan Freeman's in it.
Here's the other thing. He could open up and be like, oh, well, I didn't know these were in here. Is this part of, like...
That's what I would
But he know. Admitted to it. He admitted that he's done it multiple times.
Yeah, why would you do that?
He might be, again, a kleptomaniac. My niece. Not going to snake wow. my name. One oh, of my man. Nieces will grab whatever's in front of her and be like, this is mine now. Or she'd yeah, be like, I just want to grab it and take it. She knows it's not hers. Oh. She just, you know what, this is in my arm's reach.
She doesn't know.
So I'm going to grab it.
Just know better.
She doesn't, her she doesn't understand.
Her excuse is that she can't control her grip yet. So when she grabs something, she doesn't know how to let go.
Let it go. I'm like in a singing mood today on this podcast.
Yeah,
this
you are.
This is a musical podcast.
Why don't you sing some Finding Dory?
All right. There's no songs.
What?
All right,
that's good.
It's time for... Goes the culture. Okay.
Way to ruin it, James.
That's all right. I'll edit out this dumb sound. I'm just kidding. Okay. I don't edit anything on this podcast. All right.
James. Uncensored.
What happened this week at the box office?
Well, your movie broke a record.
It broke
all time.
Record.
Disney finds itself atop the weekend box office for the 11th time this year. That's 11. Out of how many weeks have there been so far?
Take that, haters.
This time it's Pixar brand coming up with Finding Dory. As Dory broke its share of box office records this weekend, including the largest opening weekend for an animated feature.
Of all time, right?
See, this is why Disney is a $1 trillion company.
I know. Yeah. They're a $1 trillion company because of this.
136 million.
They're 1/13th of our GDP.
1/13th. I think
a $13 trillion GDP. If you're a $1 trillion company,
we're not a $13 trillion
okay.
GDP.
Keep going.
We have like 20.
Keep going.
No, maybe
all right.
It's gone up.
All right.
Number two.
Number two is Central Intelligence with The Rock.
Okay.
Wait. What's that? What's that? Reviews.
Kevin Hart.
The reviews are Central Intelligence got 66%.
That's like 64% higher than I thought it was.
I know.
Okay.
No,
Conjuring got 77 and Finding Dory got 94.
That's the worst.
So, all right.
Secret Life of Pets.
Central Intelligence. I actually do want to see this movie because I like Kevin Hart.
And
I like The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson.
And
it's not The Rock anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's owned by someone else.
So he's,
the wrestling people, which we'll talk about.
WWE.
So, Dwayne, yeah.
And it's PG-13, but it has some nudity, according to this.
Because I think you see The Rock's butt. Yeah. In his fat suit or whatever. You see that from the previews.
But they showed in previews?
They didn't show, well, they didn't show his bottom in previews. But.
Bottom.
I mean, he works out so much that it's basically quarters. Muscles. It's just looking at muscles, guys.
So, and it's probably not even his, because usually they have butt doubles.
It might be his, because he'd be proud of it. You know, if you work out every
but he's,
day.
He's wearing a fat suit in that scene.
So?
Have you seen that preview where he's like, yeah,
nah,
he's singing? Okay. But yeah, but how is this movie different than the Ride Along movies? Kevin Hart seems to be like stuck in this kind of like buddy cop film because the Ride Along movies is like he's not a cop, but he rides along.
He's
with
in
his,
Ride Along 2, right?
Ride Along 1 and
yeah,
2.
Yeah, but those are rated R, aren't they?
No, they're not. PG-13.
Oh, okay.
And so
comedies never go for rated R typically because they can sell more. A good comedy can sell.
No, you're wrong.
Like Hangover and
I'm saying those are rated R, but. Most bad comedies will go for PG-13, as in a
bad
film.
Comedy?
Oh, okay, because they know it's not going to great.
Because we're not going to make much money, so
we might as well open it up for as many people as possible.
Yeah, and Kevin Hart is the hotness right now. Everybody's,
the hotness for bad movies.
Yeah, but I mean,
the real hotness is
Chris Pratt.
Chris
whose
Pratt.
Birthday? Happy birthday, Chris Pratt.
Happy birthday.
Listen to the show.
Yeah,
but no. But Central Intelligence, there's a lot of stuff about friendship and bullying and stuff like that because. Kevin Hart's character in high school is like this really suave, cool guy. And then
Dwayne Johnson
is like stupid and nobody likes him.
He was awesome.
Is he like a nerd?
He was like a fat nerd or something like that.
Yeah, really? And everybody made fun of him. And then
now look at him.
He had one act of kindness was shown to him by Kevin Hart's character. And so then Dwayne Johnson grows up to be
the CIA agent.
I
know what agent.
Movie I want to see, though. The Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, yeah. That's coming out pretty soon. That does look funny.
77%.
I'm not sure if I want to see it, but...
77%? Oh, that's not good.
There were some funny moments. What does that mean?
That's not good? When did 77%...
When Rotten Tomatoes decided that anything less than 77% was actually rotten.
When Finding Dory was 94%. So
yeah, that's lower than Finding Nemo.
So Finding Dory, yeah, smoked everybody. They made $100 million more.
$1 trillion.
Than Central Intelligence. That's crazy.
Dude, it's the appeal. Animated,
yeah.
It's the Disney. Well,
okay, that's the other thing. There's not that many kid movies that come out. Like, every weekend there's other movies.
Zootopia.
Well, let's
yeah, look. But how often does a kid movie come out? Once every few months.
Yeah, because kids don't need to be going to movies every week.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, they do.
Well, let's see. We got Secret Life of Pets coming out.
Also, think about it. Kids, parents have to go to these movies, right? So
yeah,
they don't want to see kids' movies.
Tarzan,
every week.
That's coming out. I know that's a kid movie, right?
That's where Tarzan's not.
Tarzan's a kid movie. Not a kid movie. Have you not seen Tarzan the Disney one?
Yeah, this is not Tarzan the Disney one.
Wait, what's its reviews?
When's Tarzan coming out this week?
It has never.
You know what else comes out this week?
Finding Nemo.
Independence Day 2, Judgment Day, or Judgment Rising.
Guess who's not in it?
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, he's definitely not. No, the guy who killed, saved the day at the end. Remember the guy in the jet who flew up into it because he couldn't get his bombs off?
Yeah.
So he had to fly and blow himself up in order to save everyone?
Yeah, he's not in it?
Yeah, well, he's dead.
I'm just disappointed Will Smith's not in it.
Oh, whatever.
I don't know. I didn't know if he's not in it.
Jeff Goldblum's back. That's all I care about.
Ice Age Collision Course, July 22nd.
Ooh, this is like what? The seventh one?
No, it's the second one.
What? Ice Age?
This is not the second Ice Age.
This is Ice Age number 5.
I was talking about kids' movies.
Oh, Ice Age. I actually really
liked Pete's Dragon.
That was a good film. That was like...
Do you like all the Ice Ages?
I only saw Ice Age 1.
What? Oh, the other ones are good.
So we got...
They're fun. Fun movies. The Ice Age.
They left them.
Ray Romano.
Kubo and the Two Strings. I don't even know what that is.
Wait, why are you looking up all this stuff? Okay.
I'm telling you, kids' movies coming out in the summer.
Yeah, Kubo and the Two Strings looks really cool.
Is just upset that there's not 52 kids' movies coming out every week.
I wasn't upset. I'm just saying I think kids' movies make more money because they come out few and far between. Like every couple months or something. Yeah.
Most kids' movies tend to be...
And parents have to take their kids, so then you're getting that money from the parents as well. And then you have people that just like Pixar or like the Finding Nemo movie, and so you got like adults that are going to see it. And so, yeah, so, but it's also a really good movie. So we're going to try something new. James referred to these questions earlier, but Adrian, who's been on the show, suggested we come up with a method of how you find a rubric, if you will, of how to find, like, if you're looking at the worldview of these things, and we want you to think about what you're taking in your life. And so, so we've came up with a viewfinder. We call this podcast Viewfinder. So
it only took you guys what?
Yeah. 64 episodes.
And it's not even refined. You guys have been...
It's not. Well, it'll change over time.
It'll be another 64.
Another year. In
2 years. But we
finally refined.
Okay. So the first question, here's the four questions that we're going to ask about movies, music, all this stuff. What does this say about life?
Yep.
What does this say about God or religion?
Yep.
What are some of the themes? Mm-hmm. That was Luke's suggestion, because he looks at the themes. And then, what is this selling? And we'll put selling in quotes, because everything is promoting something. So, like, okay, why did they make this? Why did the author write this? Why did the filmmaker make this? Why did the musician write this song? There's something that they're trying to sell, whether it's a party lifestyle, whether it's help somebody out. I don't know. So we'll do this with Finding Dory. Is that okay?
Well, I haven't seen it.
So you guys haven't seen it.
All right. How am I gonna apply any of it?
I don't know.
It's just gonna be you talking for the next 20 minutes.
That's why I did this podcast, to hear myself talk. Okay. So what does this movie say about life? So we talked about this a little bit, like with the disability stuff, but it's saying that doesn't make them less of a person, or because you see a lot of people at the beginning because Finding Dory is about her losing her family. Yeah. It's from the very beginning. So she, like, loses her family, but she's trying to find help from all these people. And a lot of people are like, I say people, and I mean fish, but they're like, they're all like swim away from her. They're like, because she's like, I can't remember things. And so they're like, oh, and they just kind of either ignore her or go away from her. And so it's just kind of this, like, she keeps trying to find people that will help her, and nobody will really help her. So she's kind of been alone until she bumps into Marlin, and then Finding Nemo happens. What does it say about God or religion? I don't know. I don't know that there was any thing that they talked about in that with God or religion. I'm trying to think if there was anything about that. So, but that's about life. Sorry, we'll go back to that one. It, like, that life's important, that finding happiness and finding family, finding a place to belong. That's what it says about life, that we all have a place that we can belong, even if we're weird. Some of the themes, disabilities, family, home, what home is really, is home.
Home is where the heart is.
Home
is where the heart is where you are.
What are you saying?
Reliant
home, where the heart, do you not remember the scene where the guy?
I haven't seen Joe Dirt. I know, don't get mad at me.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious, but caution, he's a dirty guy. As in, he is, like, disgusting. he's got the worst outfits. He's got, like, the mullet down to his knees.
So what is this selling? I think it's selling, hey, everybody has a place that they fit into, and so find where you belong. Find where your home is, I guess. Like, what?
Where the heart is.
Where the heart is. So, it's good.
So how do you find that, though?
Make house.
I mean, that's a lot. It's easier said than done.
That's true, but with Dory, like, she kept searching. Like, she didn't ever give up. Like, she felt like, okay, I'm alone. I don't know anybody. She just kept swimming. What do you do? Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. Okay. I want to talk about this. This was an article we found on Plugged In, but it was from a New York Times article about, is everything wrestling? So this is a New York Times article. It's a lot longer if you want to check that out. But you guys watch wrestling, either one of you?
Sometimes, actually.
I mean,
depends. Is the Sting in it?
Yes. The Sting?
You don't know who Sting is?
Like the wrestler?
Yeah.
Or the singer?
The wrestler.
Are they different? Or are they
Yeah, similar? They're different.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know Sting was like, Sting's a wrestler now?
He was huge. I'm way off. Did you not hear about NWO and New World Order? And he was big, Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Okay. That was the golden age.
The golden age. Yeah,
Hulk Hogan. Jake Paul the Snake. Hogan.
No, I'm talking
Hollywood
about
Hogan.
No.
That was the silver age, actually. The golden age was before people were
That was Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake.
Then there's the silver
Rowdy age. Rowdy Piper. Step into a Slim Jim. Who's that guy?
Ultimate Warrior?
Who's the Step into a Slim Jim guy? Randy Savage. Macho Man Randy Savage. Like, that. That's the only time I paid attention to wrestling when I was in middle school.
There's a mod for Fallout 4. Is that the game?
Yes.
It turns all the, what are the big beasts? What are they called?
I don't know.
Deathclaws.
Yeah.
The Randy Savages. The Macho Man. And all the sound clips are just
clips from them. That's great.
It's the best mod.
He was in Spider-Man 1. He was Bonesaw. Bonesaw is ready. I love that.
Or is it 3 minutes? Was it 3 or 5?
I don't know.
You had to stay in the ring.
Yeah. All right. So is everything wrestling? Okay. So here's what this article is about.
Politics.
It says, with each passing year, more and more facets of popular culture become something like professional wrestling. A stage-managed reality, that's in quotes, in which scripted stories bleed freely into real events. With the blurry line between truth and untruth seeming to heighten, not lessen, the audience's addiction to the melodrama. The modern media landscape is littered with reality shows that audiences happily accept aren't actually real, that in essence is wrestling. So,
because wrestling's not real.
Yeah, and I have a friend that would say it is. Peyton, if you're listening.
He doesn't say it's real, does he?
Yeah, he does. He's like, they're real athletes. Oh, dude.
I mean, they really work out.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Yeah, but they're, all some that, of them don't. All that stuff is staged. Like, they know who's going to win the fight before it happens. Right?
The one when WWE, there was a fight with Bret Hart, the Hitman Hart, right?
Yeah.
He was supposed to... tie. It was supposed to be a Royal Rumble. Okay, this is a crazy. It's called the Montreal Screwjob is what it's called because it was the moment when wrestling, when people were like, what is going on? It was that moment when reality did mix. That was the first moment. Okay, there is another podcast that I would suggest that explains it way better called Radio Lab, and the episode is called the La Mancha Screwjob, which includes Don Quixote and wrestling. So it's great, but. In that moment, one of the guys was actually going to leave to go to WCW, the competitor.
Oh.
And he was signing. His contract was up with WWE. And so...
He was just going to mess everything up?
Yeah, he was going to... But he's like, oh, I'm going to do it... Because he's the champ at the time. And he's like, oh, but I don't lose. That's the thing. He doesn't lose. And he wasn't going to lose to the guy who they were trying to get him to lose to. And so the plan was... that they were going to disqualify the event, his last event, because a whole bunch of people were going to come on. But that didn't happen. Like, the guy who he was going up against pinned him quickly, and then the referee, like, did it as fast as he could, a three-count pin. And this guy, Bret the Hitman Hart, goes crazy. He starts tearing stuff up. He just starts just, like, going crazy. And it's like, is this real or is this fake?
Is this part of the thing?
And then
yeah.
He, at one point, he punches... Vince McMahon, okay, who was, like, the announcer.
Yeah.
Most people didn't know that he was the owner as well. And that's when it just, the lines just blurred, and it started being...
real.
It started being really fake, but real at times. Because this guy really was mad, because he didn't want to lose. He wasn't supposed to lose. And he had an agreement.
I didn't know that.
Because... They have it on tape. They interviewed this guy. He died like a couple of years ago. But if you listen to the La Mancha Screwjob podcast on Radiolab, that episode.
It talks about
this exact thing.
Okay, so but it's not just wrestling that this happens
everything.
To. Yeah, it bleeds into it because they said the real world, keeping up with the Kardashians. But the most recent one said the way Beyonce teased at marital problems in her new album, Lemonade, writing lyrics people were happy to interpret as literal accusations to her famous husband's unfaithfulness. They say the author of this, Jeremy Gordon, says that's wrestling. The question of whether Steve Harvey meant to announce the wrong Miss Universe winner is wrestling. So
yeah, but this goes back to Don Quixote, where Don Quixote was written as a real character. Like, he interacted with people. In the second one, he interacted with the person who made a counterfeit version of the second one. So, like, this is an old thing, and that's why they paired Don Quixote and wrestling, because it was like, it mixed. It was like...
And that's how The Princess Bride, the book, is like that. Because I read the 10th anniversary edition, and the author is like talking about how they made the movie and how hard it was to get the rights to film in those places because, like, there's border wars still going on, and these places are all made up. And then, like, he tells stories about how he got the actors and actresses to, like, study the culture and do all this stuff. You're like, I don't know what is real and what's not.
And wrestling is the current thing that has... taking a hold of that and really just it's selling it because that's it exploded.
People like it.
Yeah, but here, okay, if we could make this political for a moment,
we don't talk politics or religion
right.
here.
Yeah, but because Donald Trump was a reality show host.
Yes,
and so I think this is my opinion. The reason that he's doing well. It's because he knows how to create drama.
He's not doing well anymore.
Well, okay. He's got the presidential nominee.
For Republicans. The reason why he did that was because...
But I'm saying, like, the reason I think people have been drawn to this whole thing is because he gets on... there's political speak, and they, like, have all their little points, and they say stuff, and they do, like, rib at each other and all this stuff. But he comes in, and he says things that are kind of... far out there that people normally don't say in political stuff. And so he's like, I'm going to build a wall in China. And then people are like, all right.
Build the wall in China.
Wait, did I say China?
Yeah.
Yeah. built it in China. We'll build one here. Yeah. You know, actually, that's great. I want to beat China. So let's build a wall.
You actually don't want to beat China anymore. You want to compete with China. But if you beat them, that's bad.
Okay. But so I think, like, with this election year, like, it has happened, like, for the past couple of years. It's gotten more, as reality shows have gotten more and more crazy. You got, like, Duck Dynasty. Because I've heard all that is scripted. I've heard that from several people that are insiders in the industry. Uh-huh. The Duck Dynasty, like, that, all that stuff.
I believe
it's scripted. The Jersey Shore, that stuff was all scripted. Like, all this, I never watched it either, but there's a YouTube video like, this is why Jersey Shore is fake, and it shows Lost? All this thing. Lost was real.
That people love it. People eat it up.
They do. So, but
that's how some YouTube channels that I watched, they do that too. It's like, oh, this is clearly scripted, but then, what? It's not scripted anymore.
Okay. Because there was a guy that was like, he's on there. I think it's, I don't even want to say his name because I don't know. His stuff is kind of stupid, but he does like these hidden camera things. He's like, does these social experiments, as he says. And one of them, he like,
wait, isn't this, the guy who, what's his name?
Joey Salads. I wasn't going to say his
name. Not
Joey
Salads.
Joey Salads is the guy that does the scripted stuff. So, or I don't know if it's scripted, but some of it's like,
what about
really
the
dumb. So,
experiments.
Jamie Kennedy experiment. Yeah. So, I mean, there's been like hidden camera shows for a long time, but this Joey Salads guy is like, oh, these are real things that are actually happening. And so he goes up to this couple that's like sitting in a park and he's like, hey, I'm a phone guy. Can I borrow your phone? Call my friend. So he calls the friend.
Yeah.
So they have the number. So then he leaves. And then like a few minutes later, they call the guy's phone. And the guy answers, like, hello? And he's like, hey, man, I've got a briefcase with $10,000 over by that park bench. Or he's like, walk away from it. Or if you go and take it, then a girl dies. And they're like, the guy's like, what? And he's like, walk over to that park bench. And he, like, finds this briefcase. And it really does have $10,000 in it. And the guy takes it and starts to walk away. And they come out and they're like, you would let a little girl die? And they're like, he's like, I don't know her. Whatever. I'm like, it just seemed so fake. I'm like, I don't think any of this is real, but they're like saying, he said it was. Huh. And then there's like the homeless ones or the like, oh, this little girl is like homeless on the street and nobody gives her money. But one person's like, got a sign that says like, I want lots of money for weed. And they're like, oh, here's hundreds of dollars. And you're like,
I hate those social experiment things where they're like, oh, we're going to see what other people, how they react. And it's like,
yeah,
those are dumb.
But we like them and they get millions of views and those YouTubers get lots of likes and whatever because do we care that it's real or not?
I care.
Or do we just want to be entertained?
I mean, I do like being entertained. I wish anime was real.
Okay, come on. Wait, let's focus on this. So,
James can't focus because he's on his phone right now.
All right. But no, so if I'm gonna like, follow something.
Yeah.
So, because this is why, like, American Ninja Warrior, I feel like that's real. I feel like those people, like, those stories and stuff. And
I thought you were talking about them actually doing it.
No. Yeah.
They actually fall on purpose. Like, this person's going to go down.
Yeah. No.
Oh, I didn't make it.
No, not that stuff. But I mean, like, because there's stories about them in between. You're like, okay, these are real stories. But then there's things where I'm like, I don't know how much drama they create because I watched that, what was the show with American Grit. And so there's like things that they do in the house that you're like, okay, you got to keep it interesting. So
if you want people to tune in.
So what do they do to create drama in those shows?
So what's the point of the show? To make money.
That's
so they're gonna include drama.
That you have to have viewers. So yeah, because I think reality shows like you have to create stuff because you follow people around. Like, most of the time they just watch TV.
Life is
like,
boring.
Yeah.
All right. Life is boring.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much the Duck Dynasty stuff is real or not. But
did you ever watch the Japanese Ninja Warrior?
Yeah, it's awesome.
They only showed just them doing the track. They never showed any backstories. That's why I like it over the American. It's just like, hey, they're doing the thing.
What about that one?
Well, the American one keeps...
What was the crazy one?
MXC?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was real. I like that more than
that. That was like, the Japanese game shows are just like crazy.
No, that's a real game show.
Yeah.
With
fake
dubs. But, yeah, so, but this, I really like this article. I haven't read, I mean, I read this little snippet of it. I want to go back and read the whole article, but it says, Gordon also notes that in such a world, the audiences and the creators labor alongside each other, building from both ends to conceive a universe with its own logic, invented worlds that, however false they may be, nevertheless feel good and right and amusing to untangle. It's like the Real Housewives, like all that stuff. I mean, I think even...
I've never seen it.
I
told you the worst thing about this generation, I'd have to concede, is the TLC channel. You know, that's where Real Housewives is.
Oh.
A Duck Dynasty. I don't know. It's basically all those shows that are real but fake. I cannot stand shows like that.
Real fake shows. Because, oh, you were talking about Hulk Hogan earlier, or Hollywood Hogan. He had a reality show for a while.
Yeah, I hated it.
Yeah, but it's like they take this stuff. Another article is talking about the Teen Mom or whatever show on MTV.
Yeah.
And they're like, she's like, I hope they would portray me as a nice person, but if like the person behind the camera or the editor doesn't like me, she's like, it looks like I'm a bad parent. They don't show those moments of good parenting and all this stuff. They just show all this awful stuff. And so they said the editor has complete control of how they want the show to go.
Yeah.
Like how they change things around and manipulate things.
The editor's telling the story.
Yeah.
The director.
But when it all comes down, it's the viewer who's making the things happen. If viewers stop watching shows like that, if you start watching Wheel of Fortune more,
there you go.
See, it's always, it all comes down to the consumer. If someone makes a product and you don't consume it, that product's going to fail, and they're going to be like, okay, let's not make similar products. Let's go elsewhere. So that's why I try as much as possible to avoid watching these reality types. I mean, wrestling is a little bit different because wrestling is old. But I don't like wrestling too much because it's not as good as it used to be.
It's better than UFC.
Yeah, but
no, UFC's way better because that's a real fight.
That's boring.
But to other people, their Kardashian show or their Housewives of New York or whatever, is their wrestling. Because they're like,
but you know what, it's those blurred. But I don't watch wrestling either. So I tell them, read a book.
It's like soap operas. What about those? Days of Our Lives?
Those aren't real at all. Those are just...
I know, but people love them.
Yeah, but they're not... But it's not grounded in real... Like, I don't
know.
Like,
oh, man.
I don't know. I'm very attached.
Soap operas.
Everybody's got their thing.
No, but the point of this wrestling article is that, like, everything's becoming this blurred reality of...
I'm surprised it's not like that already.
It is like that.
I mean, I'm surprised it took so long.
Oh, to get to that point?
You would think it would be at that point. Because, again, the idea is old.
It's
written in books. I mean, it's easier now that you have media such as Twitter and Facebook.
Well, back in the day, the radio show, The War of the Worlds, like, people thought the world is... Like, they thought we were being invaded by aliens.
That's his name, right? He's like, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
He's like, I was so good that people started going crazy.
And it's true. All right. I'm going to end with this article. Happy birthday, Facebook style. And this goes back to what we're talking about with Finding Dory. This girl has a disability. Her name is Rebecca. And she, for her 18th birthday party, invited all these people. And none of her school friends attended. She has autism. And it says, through the year, Rebecca, her cousin... Rebecca is the cousin, and Haley is the one that has autism. So Rebecca sent out something on Facebook and was like, hey, send my cousin Haley a birthday card or something for her 19th birthday and all this stuff. And then more than 10,000 cards have gotten to Haley for her birthday. And I was like, oh, that's a positive thing on social media that she's using her influence.
What about next year, though? Then she's got to feel like she's got to beat that.
No. It's a one-time thing.
I think it's lame.
No, I mean, no.
If no one came to my birthday party, I'd be like, good. That's exactly. I invited.
I didn't invite anybody, and everybody showed up.
I mean, I see a negative to it. Also, you're like, I didn't get as the next year. I mean, you got to beat it.
James drinking from the half-empty glass.
I don't like it too much.
I call that reality, bro.
It's so empty. They don't know the person at all. Oh, happy birthday! I don't know you.
It's consumerism.
What does it mean? What does it mean to be wished a happy birthday by someone you have no idea? It doesn't make me happy. It makes me freaked out because I'm like, how do they know my birthday? Okay.
Yeah, but on the flip side, if you were somebody that has a disability,
I do. It's called my eyes, I guess.
So, no, but I mean, she's autistic, and I mean, I know, like, we have several autistic kids in our youth group, and there's social things that they have trouble connecting with people and making friends and all that stuff. And so to have a birthday party and nobody show up, that would devastate them.
I know, but it's still a facade because, oh, happy birthday. But then the next day, it's like, where are these people? Where are these people who wish you happy birthday when times get tough?
I know you're not on Facebook, Luke, but for me, when I get on my Facebook page on my birthday and all these people are like, happy birthday, I'm like, I haven't talked to you since middle school, but you're wishing me happy birthday. I'm like, oh. They took a moment to care about me and whether I talked to them.
Did they really?
Facebook automates it now.
It is. It's easy. You just click a button. All right. I wished you a happy birthday.
I know.
I don't even do that.
It's so
I don't
insincere.
Like,
that's
I mean,
problem.
I get anxiety because I'm like, now I have to respond to all these people who wish me happy birthday.
I don't respond to anybody.
Who does a mass response?
Like the next day, I'm like, yeah. Hey, thanks
everyone
everybody.
For wishing me a happy birthday.
Sometimes I don't even do that.
Exactly. And then they don't wish you a happy birthday next
There's
year.
There's just no real connection. It's not authentic.
It's just,
so, okay, yeah. Okay, so 10,000
people. It
does
more harm. And to me, in the long run, it does more harm than good.
You guys are the worst people ever. It's like, you don't like Finding Nemo. And you're like, oh, this girl with disabilities got birthday cards. Oh, terrible people out there.
But no. Okay, how about this? Let's say
10,000 people showed up at her house.
No. Let's say she's having a birthday party, and a whole bunch of people are like, oh, let's throw her the best birthday party in her life, right? Let's give her a whole bunch of stuff. And then she's like, oh, a great birthday party, right? That one day was good. And they're going to think, we did something good. But then the next day, they're not there. They're gone. Those people aren't there. And the only person who's really there is her cousin. So the only person that matters,
is their cousin.
The only person's birthday wish that actually is important is her cousin's. Everyone else's might as well be noise. Because
those people
are just...
But her cousin is using her influence and saying, hey, you know what? I put this out to my friends
to
on Facebook.
To create a facade.
To create, like... So she gets all these cards and like, oh, this is a cool thing. Like, she's getting all these birthday cards.
It's not her birthday.
I know. Her birthday's not till July and she's already gotten 10,000 cards. But that's not the point.
I think it's people are like, oh, I want to do something good. Let's say happy birthday.
So that when they
I got my good card down for the year.
That's right. I can stand before God and said I sent a birthday card to somebody.
Hey, it's not about serving. It's about being a servant.
Okay, I'm a really pessimistic person if you haven't noticed.
I'm not,
I noticed both of you today.
No, I just think...
Recording is early. Usually it's later in the day. We're tired.
I really
just
dislike...
Still
no, I'm
angry
great.
And sleepy.
I just like... I got a Coke. A coffee.
So, I get what you're saying. There's not a real connection there because they're not...
I just think next year the setup is huge because anytime you, it's like the celebrities. You got to beat it. You got to beat it. So what happens next year? What happens the year after? Huh?
It's a one-time deal. So
maybe.
She just sent it out and was like, hey.
No. When you get that much response, that is a memorable moment. You have a hard time beating that.
And don't beat it then.
Then they feel
like,
terrible.
It's like when they made Legend of Zelda.
Then they go back to feeling poorly.
Majora's Mask, and they tried to beat it by making that prequel.
Dude, I'm telling you.
And it was terrible.
Man, the new Zelda game, it looks so good. But okay.
Well,
I actually have one more point I want to say
about this. It's just, if she doesn't have any friends, you can't be too soft on people. Like, look all these thousand people. I don't have many friends. I don't mind.
Nope.
I have a hard time. I have a hard time making friends and stuff, but that doesn't bother me because, hey, I got one friend. That's good enough for me.
Jesus.
So, if you really...
Is it me or James?
It's James.
Oh,
me. Mentor question mark.
Mentor question mark.
I haven't decided is he qualified to be a mentor.
So... No, okay. I get what you guys are saying about like, okay, yeah, there's not a real connection. I'm just sending a birthday card to somebody I don't know, whatever. But I also know that there's probably like parents that have autistic kids that are like, you know what, this would mean something to them if they got a card. Even if they don't know the person, it shows that somebody out there is thinking about them, caring about them, praying for them, whatever.
They don't care. They just...
If I sit down and
do it for themselves, I think it was a selfish thing.
If I sit down and write a birthday card to somebody and mailed a birthday card, then I care about that person.
Hey, maybe you care about yourself and you're like, I'll feel good if I send this out.
It depends on my worldview.
Like, hey. I mean, I fill out all these value cards for staff. I really do it for myself. I'm like, yeah, I fill out 25
and
this week.
Don't you do it because you have to?
No.
Oh.
Nobody enforces
it. Then why would you ever do it?
I know. Because we want somebody to know that we noticed what you did.
I
want to know
that I do good.
We cared about you. I noticed what you did. You did something good.
I just think words are not as powerful as being there. As
in, man, you didn't pay attention to my sermon this last week. 300,
James, actions tend to be more powerful than words. So, I was there at your sermon.
Actions and words need to line up.
We can talk about this later. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. I just don't think it's a great... I think it does more harm than good in the long run. I think a person who has a disability... I don't understand autism, nor do I understand how autistic she is or unautistic.
They didn't explain that in the article. She's like, oh, so she's 15 autistics.
Okay, what if she gets confused? What if it's a confusion? What if she's like... What if the person starts to become... confused about what's going on.
Give me what if scenarios, because you can do that with everything.
Yeah, oh, no, I do it with everything.
What if that guy didn't fall in the gorilla pit? The gorilla will still be alive. Okay.
What if the kid didn't wade in the alligator pit?
Yeah, no, I mean, there were signs.
The alligator would still be alive.
Yeah. Did they find the alligator?
Oh, they killed all of them.
Yeah.
They euthanized a lot because they needed to find the body.
Yeah, that was a rough story. Okay. But no, but you can do what if scenarios with everything.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't give me a what if, what if this and this.
But
I'm just saying.
The takeaway is do good.
Do good, yeah.
But is that good? Day. I don't think that's good.
Random acts of kindness. Do you not help people out? You don't help out strangers ever? Like, oh, that you're driving by. Like, well, I could help them out, but I'm just a random person.
You know what I do? I call the cops and be like, hey, this guy on the interstate, they're pulled over. You need to deal with that because it's illegal to be pulled over and cops need to handle the situation, please. Responders, like, if you're ever on the interstate, you really shouldn't pull over. You should call someone who can get, like, siren things so people notice.
Yeah.
You need to get, like, a truck out there.
I'm saying just in general. You don't help random people by your saying, there's not a real connection there, so I'm not going to help them out.
If a homeless guy asks for money, I give him a card for the local place so that they can get help.
Okay. I mean, you may never run into people again, but the Good Samaritan, he helped somebody out.
But he helped them in the long run. Like, he helped them, and then he came back to help them. He didn't help them. He didn't put them up. And he's like, okay, now I'm done.
Out of these 10,000 people, maybe there will be some connections, and maybe some of those friends that didn't come to their party last year, but like, you know what? I was a jerk.
But I'm a professional cynic, okay? I get paid to think.
Professional.
Yes, I get paid to do this, James.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. This has been Podcast Viewfinder, episode 64. 64. You can tune in every week and listen to James and Luke gripe about
anime.
People being nice.
Anime corner.
I said that was the...
Whatever.
Whatever.
You guys are dumb.
Said it was nice, but it was not good in the
long. You don't know that. You don't know that. All right. Okay.
I don't know it was nice. It could have been bad.
No. You don't know that it was good or bad in the long run. The long run hasn't happened yet. Okay. The birthday's not even here.
What if you... Have you ever sent a sarcastic birthday card?
I'm sending one to you this week.
Really? I don't think you will.
Also, I'm not sarcastic. I'm sardonic.
I hope your birthday's the opposite of happy. I hope it's unhappy. All right.
Oh, that's bad.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Chris Shadowin.
Subscribe to our podcast. Leave us some love on iTunes. Rate us. And thanks for listening. This has been episode 64. I'm Chris.
I'm James.
I'm Luke.
We'll see you next time. Magic.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. Just because we talk about a game, movie, book, show, or celebrity does not mean we endorse them or the product. So we want you to use discernment about what you take in. So look it up before you consume, and see you next time. Podcast Viewfinder.